A slight change in the course of God-made law can bring about a massive danger to be faced by the lawbreaker. Such laws of the Supreme are generally known as the codes of religion under different conditions. But the principle of religion everywhere is one and the same, namely, obey the orders of the Supreme God, the codes of religion. That is the condition of material existence. All living beings in the material world have taken up the risk of conditioned life by their own selection and are thus entrapped by the laws of material nature. The only way to get out of the entanglement is to agree to obey the Supreme. But instead of becoming free from the clutches of Maya or illusion, foolish human beings become bound up by different nomenclatures, being designated as Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, Hindus, Mohammedans, Indians, Europeans, Americans, Chinese, and many others. And thus, they carry out the orders of the Supreme Lord under the influence of respective scriptural or legislative injunctions. The statutory laws of the state are imperfect imitation replicas of religious codes. The secular state or the godless state allows the citizens to break the laws of God but restricts them from disobeying the laws of the state. The result is that people in general suffer more by breaking the laws of God than by obeying the imperfect laws made by man. Every man is imperfect by constitution under the conditions of material existence, and there is not the least possibility that even the most materially advanced man can enact perfect legislation. On the other hand, there is no such imperfections in the laws of God. If the leaders are educated in the laws of God, there is no necessity of a makeshift legislative council of aimless men. There is necessity of change in the makeshift laws of man, but there is no change in the God-made laws, because they are made perfect by the all-perfect personality of God. The codes of religion, scriptural injunctions, are made by different, by liberated personalities or liberated representatives of God in consideration of different conditions of living, and by carrying out the orders of the Lord, the conditioned living beings gradually become free from the clutches of material existence. The factual position of the living being is, however, that he is the eternal servitor of the Supreme Lord. In his liberated state, he renders service to the Lord in transcendental love and thus enjoys a life of full freedom, even sometimes on an equal level with the Lord, or sometimes more than the Lord. But in the conditioned material world, every living being wants to be the Lord of other living beings, and thus, by the illusion of Maya, this mentality of lording it over becomes a cause of further extension of conditional life. So in the material world, the living being is still more conditioned until he surrenders unto the Lord by reviving his original state of eternal servitorship. That is the last instruction of the Bhagavad Gita and all other recognized scriptures of the world.
Shri Mataji Swami Hidrani. नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे
नमो महाबलन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायके कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्य नमः पंचतत्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूप स्वरूपकम् भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकम् हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते सप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि नमामि जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यकरुणानन्द श्रीअद्वैतराधाभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Very beautiful cover, Sri Prabhupada has elaborated. I'd like to welcome everyone for Sunday feast. This is Srimad from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, Dhritarashtra Prince 4, and verse 42. The translation again. As a cow bound through the nose by a long rope is conditioned, so also human beings are bound by different Vedic injunctions and are conditioned to obey the orders of the Supreme. So this is the words being spoken by Srila Narad Muni to Yudhishthira Maharaj. In the series of verses, this particular chapter, we find that Vidura is speaking, or rather preaching, in a very strong manner to Dhritarashtra. Because Dhritarashtra, even after the battlefield is over, is still continuing to stay at the mercy of the Pandavas for his very basic sustenance. And in fact, Yudhishthira Maharaj even used to address him as a king. So he was getting a lot of support, emotional support, and a lot of various kinds of shelter which he was getting in terms of by being in the presence of the Pandavas. So naturally, Dhritarashtra continued to stay there, and Vidura had to come and actually take him out of the palace, considering his old age and considering the insults he has borne, he has got influenced with. He wanted to take him out of his palace and actually give him the process of self-realization. So Dhritarashtra, when he spoke very strong words to Dhritarashtra, finally he came to his senses, and along with his wife Gandhari, all three of them happened to set out to the forest. So when all the three of them are missing, the Pandavas, especially Yudhishthira Maharaj, they are all searching where are their uncles and aunt, Vidura, Dhritarashtra and Mother Gandhari. So they are searching frantically for where have these personalities gone. They were not happy, saying that, oh, we have got rid of an old man. We had simply had to feed him. Simply he was of no productivity. Good that we have got rid of him. Or sometimes when an old man dies, many of the family members don't even repent or don't even cry about it. It's just a passing phase. We were anyway about to, today or tomorrow it was anyway going to happen. But the Pandavas, Yudhishthira Maharaj specifically, was frantically searching, where have my uncles and aunt gone? And just at the right moment, Narada Muni happens to come. So these great personalities come and actually live for the benefit of the society. He came and enlightened Yudhishthira Maharaj about the further instructions, what we are trying to hear. Just as once we hear when Vedavyas, after writing the entire scriptures, after writing all the Vedic literatures, he was still finding despondency in his heart. He had written about Karma Kanda, he had written about Jnana Kanda, various different sections of the scriptures. but in spite of writing Vedic literatures, author of the Vedic literatures, still he was feeling despondency in his heart. So at the right moment, his spiritual master, again Narad Muni, he happens to come and actually instructs him further of to be exclusively writing this great, wonderful transcendental literature in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the form of a direct glorification for the pleasure of the Lord, for the pleasure of this, for the pleasure of the living entity who gets an opportunity to be able to hear a direct glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as a result of which, Srila Vyasadeva happens to write the further literature, especially the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a direct commentary on the Vedanta Sutras. So, Narada again at that point comes and specifies, of course initially he instructs him, he basically ultimately specifies him saying that unless you write this glories of the Lord directly in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, your despondency will not go away. So here also we find a similar situation where Yudhishthira Maharaj is frantically searching for his uncles and aunt. And at the right moment, these sages, here in this case Narada Muni, comes and relieves him of his misery, of his anxiety, especially by giving spiritual instructions. Of course, in modern times, people have a mockery of Narada Muni, saying that he always comes at the wrong times. Or he comes at the right time but does the wrong thing. People have a wrong notion. The modern times, people consider Narada Muni is always creates some, you know, sort of politics or a diplomacy amongst people. But here we find Narada Muni happens to be the spiritual master of even Vyasadeva, the author of the Vedic literatures. He happens to be the spiritual master of Dhruva Maharaj. He happens to be the spiritual master of Prahlad Maharaj, great personality. So a very, very exalted soul comes and offers these wonderful instructions to the Pandavas. So in this particular verse, a very beautiful point is being talked about, just as analogy is given. Just as a cow who is bound to the nose by a long rope is conditioned, so also human beings are bound by different varying injunctions and are conditioned to obey the orders of the Supreme. And Srila Prabhupada's purport is very unique, very choice words, speaking about the laws of the material world in contrast with the laws of the government. So it gives a various distinguishing factors. We can talk, discuss in terms of government laws versus God's laws, government laws versus the laws of nature. In a distinguishing factor, Srila Prabhupada various in this purport explains that in terms of government laws, one thing is very clear: it is man-made. It's made by a person, or it is made by a group of persons, group of people. It's made by a constitution. Whereas God's laws, as delineated in the scriptures, explains dharma to saksha bhagavat pranita. Dharma is actually the words spoken by the Lord. That whatever the Lord speaks, that actually becomes the codes of conduct, that actually becomes religion. So in terms of government laws, it is made by, it's man-made. Whereas God's laws or laws of nature, it is made by the Lord himself or his representatives, his very, very dear representatives as the Mahajans. Another point you find here is, in this material world, how much of an advance a person may be in terms of material skills, in terms of professional, even if a person is a student of the law or a master of law, still with all the perfectional stages in this material world, one cannot enact a perfect legislation. And that is why you find somehow or other people always manage to find some loopholes, manage to find certain loopholes in the justice, in the government laws. In fact, India is quite famous. India is quite famous for the law, for the justice. Famous because of its long duration. It can go on for sometimes months. Months is very short. Sometimes years, decades. Not so million years, but at least decades. It goes on for quite a long period of time. Because there are quite a lot of loopholes which people can find, because the major factor is it is made by man. who have, in spite of all the perfection availability in the material world, still there is a limitation made by man. Whereas in God's laws, one cannot find any imperfections. One cannot find any loopholes in the laws made by God. Another distinguishing factor being explained here is, it is, one can find that this government law can be evaded by cunning outlaws. Especially people who know laws, who knows how to deal with the law, they can actually try to find, as we're discussing, some loopholes. They can try to find out ways and means of trying to escape, evade. Sometimes, like this says, there is tax. Then people are thinking, people are trying to learn tax to avoid giving tax. Not that how much I can give more to the government. People are learning, trying to learn tax, financial planning, in order to how to avoid giving more to the government. That is government's laws. People, because government's laws do not satisfy the people. It is explained in the Vedic times, the king would be so merciful, so compassionate, and so perfect in his administration. Whatever he would collect from the people would actually be returned in terms of benefits for the people. The analogy given is just as the rain clouds. Just as the rain clouds are formed by the water being evaporated from the ocean. The sunlight is there and the water of the ocean gets evaporated, goes up and finally forms the rain cloud. But the same rain cloud pours, showers water even in the ocean, even if it is not required. It just downpours. Whatever is collected from the ocean is distributed back to the people in general. That was the principle of the Vedic times, and that is the principle of God's laws. In terms of government laws, it is simply extraction. How much can be extracted, or the word used is exploited from people. The maximum exploitation from people, and naturally the people in general do not feel a great love that I want to pay tax, even if it is easy to do so, even if it is just simply a click away, even if it is, can be done as simple as the internet. But still there is always a dearth of there is no heart to give wholeheartedly to the government. That is the nature of government's laws. It can be evaded by cunning outlaws. Whereas in terms of God's laws, this cannot be disobeyed. Like there is nature's laws. Like Prabhupada explains, or like Prabhupada explains, Devino Sinesadeya, Kaumara, Yavana, Jara. We have a small baby body, we grow older, we get a youthful body, we grow old, a person ultimately dies. There's no one who can reverse. There's no one who can reverse these laws. There is no choice to not to obey the laws of nature. There's no choice. This is how the laws are made. Similarly, the nature of the material world, as Krishna stamps, Dukkhalayam, it's a place filled with misery. Ashashwata, it's a temporary place. So this is a stamp being given by the scriptures, stamp being given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as a result of which these stringent laws, as Prabhupada explains, these stringent laws cannot be disobeyed. Now stringent may be a term we might feel, you know, why this, what is the strictness, the stringent laws. The stringent laws are basically meant for our benefit actually. Law is ultimately meant for this benefit. We'll try to see how that is coming about. Finally, we also see government laws, is always keeps changing. Every time the government changes, the law also changes. And the government changes quite frequently. So the law keeps changing quite frequently. It's not freeze. There is always a condition apply till this government lasts. But in government's law, this happens, whereas in God's law, laws are given in terms of scriptures. It is not changed, it's not a revised version every 5 years. The scriptures are constant, and it is so wonderfully being presented that practically every person can follow these laws. So as a result of this analogy is given, just as a cow who is bound by the ropes through his nose. So just as a cow or a bull is bound by the ropes through his nose, similarly the human beings are bound by different Vedic injunctions. So if the cow follows the master wherever the master wants him to take, by being bound by the ropes which are tied through his nose, the cow will get all his basic facilities satisfied. As long as he satisfies the master, he moves wherever the master wants him to move. And how will he know that? Based on wherever the rope is being pulled. Whichever direction it is being pulled, that is where the cow, if he goes, he is very submissive to the master and he gets all the facilities and the benefits being provided by the master. So actually these Vedic injunctions are like the ropes which actually bind a person. And because we have a free will, there is a choice. The cow may feel, or the bull may feel, when it is tied by the rope, he may feel that, why should I obey the master? The master wants me to go in right direction and I want to move in the opposite direction, left direction. Why should I obey the master? Now this is where there is this need for this law. Which means, if we follow the scriptures, when we follow the scriptures which is given by God, which actually talks about the glories of God, which actually talks about how to lead a life in order to perfect our life, it will be a smooth sail. When we do not follow the laws of scriptures, yeah, shastra vade usrujya vartate kama karta. Okay, I don't want to follow the scriptures, and vartate kama karta. Let me do whatever I want to do. In that case, we are not wanting to follow the rules of scriptures, the injunctions given in the shastra, given in the scriptures, want to do something independently of our desires which are born of our own mind, and we continue to suffer in this material world because of having independent desires. But the design, the structure made by the Lord is just as the ropes being pulled for the cow. If he follows those directions as it is, he will be provided for facilities by the master. And if he does not, if he expresses his free will to not follow the proper direction, then one has to suffer. So this is how the injunctions are. That means we can see in terms of choice, in terms of free will a person has, one can choose not to follow any laws. Now sometimes people say there is the laws of government, and also there are laws of nature. Like people talk about laws of nature, people are sometimes not wanting to accept laws of God. It's laws of nature. The Prabhupada just explained, when you say nature, we should always remember whose nature. Nature is not independently acting. You say Mother Nature. In fact, Bhagavad Gita explains whose nature. Maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharachara. Maya adhyakshena. The material nature is actually working under my direction. So it is not independently acting. It is being supervised by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the choice can be, we can look at the various choices. One, I don't want to follow, neither do I want to follow government's laws nor God's laws. So that is outright demoniac. I don't believe in the existence of God, and I also don't want to follow government laws. Which means people are wanting to be criminals, wanting to do certain crime. That's outright demoniac. The second category can be a person doesn't want to follow God's laws, but is thinking in terms of following government's laws. He wants to follow government's laws, but still he doesn't recognize or is not wanting to actually follow God's laws. The third category, interesting, the person follows God's laws, but he might not want to follow government's laws. Trying to be a devotee, but still not wanting to follow government's laws. And the fourth category is a person who is actually following God's laws and is also very willingly wanting to follow government's laws. So these different categories we can find. In the first case, what we discussed, a person doesn't want to follow God's, neither wants to follow God's laws nor wants to follow government's laws. He's an outright atheistic, criminal minded, demoniac person. He doesn't want to follow anyone. Why should I follow law? Let me create law. People don't want to follow laws. The fact that there is a law means there is a lawmaker. Someone has made laws. You and me cannot make laws. You and me can only best is to follow the laws. We cannot make laws. But these demoniac people, in fact, like you find in the scriptures, Ravan had his mentor and he was wanting to have a staircase. He wanted to build a staircase towards heavenly planets. Of course, that time lips were not available. He wanted to build a staircase. But still, his mentality was those who will do criminal activities, sinful activities, will get an entrance into heavenly planets. And those who will do pious activities will actually go to hell. He wanted to reverse the laws. What to speak of following the laws? These demoniac people are there who even want to reverse the laws made by God simply because of a vengeance. It is made by God. I won't follow it. Or similarly, this is the rebellious attitude of the soul. It is a law made by the government. Why should I follow? People are not able to see there is some purpose in following the law. There is a requirement to follow the law. This is a very simple example. If there is a crossroads, if there are traffic flowing in all the four roads, and if there is no traffic signal, everyone is told independently you can drive at any speed, you can go wherever you want. Nobody will actually be able to travel. In fact, Bangalore is already famous for it. But if you don't even have a signal, if you don't even have a proper law in place, people will not be able to move properly. Law is actually meant for to be able to have peace in society. It's actually able to have peace in society. It's actually meant to become free. The misnomer is why we don't want to follow law is we feel we need to have a discipline in our life. But law enforces a discipline. I don't want to hear an authority. I don't want to hear another superior person. That is a rebellious tendency which is there in the conditioned soul. So that is outright demoniac. Srila Prabhupada gives a very simple, wonderful analogy to be able to understand. Like sometimes there is a street dog. The street dog feels, I am free. I can go in any street. And I am the king of any street I go. I go and bark, it is my property. That is how the street dog thinks, that is mentality. But if he barks too much, or if that barking causes disturbance to the neighboring people, they might end up calling the municipality and they will come up in a van which will simply put this barking street dog in the van and take it for further action to be performed. So Srila Prabhupada said, we don't want to be like a street dog, artificially in illusion, thinking, I don't want to follow anyone. I want to be free. I want to be independent. A free bird. Srila Prabhupada says, a dog who has a collar, indicates that he has a master. And the fact that he has a master means he is actually provided for by the master. So, for that, he may have to do some little service. Sometimes the dog goes and gets a newspaper. Sometimes he wags his tail. Some small activities. The master is pleased with that and he gets all his facilities. Simply by being with the master, he actually is provided for a shelter. Simply by wearing a collar, which indicates that he is being protected by the master. But the second category is a person wants to follow or person follows government's laws, but is still not aware of the principles of God's laws. Which means a person might be atheist, a person might be very professional performing his education, performing his occupational duties very nicely. But still, there is no reference with respect to God. I mean, there is a local law. There is a local, actually government law is like a local law. A local law which is made for further extra rules to be enforced, to be imposed. A very important essential factor we should understand, the local law may have certain extra rules and regulations. Just as, suppose someone joins a school, they may have a law of saying you need to come in a particular uniform. You need to come in at a particular time. There is a discipline of time. You may have some extra rules which the government may not enforce. But suppose someone doesn't come in a uniform, you cannot meet out, you cannot give a global punishment. You cannot say, okay, I'll put you in jail because you are not coming in a uniform. Or because you came half an hour late, you will be in prison for 5 years. That is not valid. A local law cannot go beyond its jurisdiction and try to encroach upon the punishment of the global law. On a similar platform, it is very, very essential for us to understand the global law cannot disobey, the local law cannot disobey the global laws. Locally, we cannot say, okay, in this particular club, we are all coming and forming a club together. In this club, even if anyone murders each other, no one will be fined, no one will take notice of. That cannot be made. There is a government law. A local law cannot supersede or disobey the global laws made by God. But that is a fact, or that is what happens in the modern world, especially more the Kali Yuga progresses. The modern government passes law. The modern government passes law saying, yes, even if there is abortion, it is allowed. It is not to be considered. In fact, it is just go to the doctor and get paid for the particular medicine, and it is sanctioned. So just because a person sanctions, and now it is coming as a government law, it doesn't mean that one will not be having a global punishment. The local law cannot disobey the laws made by God. Locally we come together and make laws that cannot disobey the government laws. Sorry, that cannot disobey the God's laws. Similarly, in terms of meat eating, in terms of abortion, in terms of cow killing, all these things, even if it is sanctioned by government, the sanction by the modern government doesn't free one from the reactions to be experienced in the further lives. The government who sanctioned comes and goes, and he himself has to experience the simple reactions. In fact, it is explained, the leader gets 1/6 of the karma. The leader gets 1/6 of the karma, which means it's a terrible, it's terrible to be leader, in the, especially in the age of Kali Yuga, in a material circles, in a material circles. It's so difficult. In a sense, one has to get to the 1/6 of the karma of the people who is administrating. So, the local law cannot disobey the government laws. Should not. So, that's why in today's society, basically you find that justice is being sold. And people know. In fact, the only interaction of the common people with respect to laws, with respect to government laws, might be with respect to driving. Many times we drive and we might get caught up with some traffic policeman. Other than that, I don't think most of us have any interactions with respect to government laws. And we know, most of the people know how to get out of that also. Because this is evaded by cunning outlaws. And that is the impression we have. This is what government laws are basically made up of. But God's laws cannot be disobeyed. Whereas government laws, it can be even sold. Justice can be actually sold. And Sri Narada Muni gives a very wonderful analogy, saying that even if we do our occupational duties perfectly, but we fail to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are not perfect in our lives. So even if someone follows government laws to the best of one's capacity, but he fails to recognize the hand of God in his daily life, if he fails to recognize the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then in spite of following government laws perfectly, still in the next life one still has to continue with the reactions of birth and death. Whereas the third category and the fourth category talks about one follows God's laws. So the third category is one follows God's laws, but at the same time he might not follow the government laws, or we are neglectful to follow the government laws, or we are not so bothered because it's man-made. You know, one can find some loopholes and considering all these things. But being a devotee does not give one license to break government's laws unnecessarily. Being a devotee, becoming the practice of devotional service, should not give one a license of not wanting to follow the local laws. Find in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Lord Chaitanya was living in Jagannath Puri, some servants of Gopinath Patnaik, they came and informed very hurriedly to Lord Chaitanya, saying that your very dear servant Gopinath Patnaik is being he's going to be thrown under the changa, under the swords, and he's about to lose his life very soon. And Lord Chaitanya inquired, why is it so? Why did he land up in this particular situation? And the devotees began to explain, saying that he actually, Gopinath Patnaik, in fact he is one of the dear brothers of Ramananda Rai, happens to be the son of Bhavananda Rai. Bhavananda Rai is basically Pandu in Chaitanya Leela, which means this happens to be the family of Pandava. So very dear to the Lord actually. So Gopinath Patnaik, he happens to be the treasurer, just like Ramananda Rai happened to be governor for some time. Similarly, Gopinath Patnaik happens to be the treasurer for the government. He was working for King Pratap Rudra. And while he was working for him, naturally as his role of being treasurer, he was collecting taxes. But eventually it was so found that he was not depositing whatever he collected fully into the government's account. It means he had some quota yet to be given to the government. So something he had kept it for himself, misused it rather. And he had thinking in terms of I will give it at a later time. So when the king demanded, there was some 2 lakh tahanas of conscience, it's a different medium of currency. In the earlier times it was 2 lakh tahanas of conscience. So it was a huge amount which he had to repay to the king. So the king asked, how do you intend to repay? They said, I have some horses with me. I have some good quality horses. So you can take them and take them for a good price. And in that way, slowly I will try to repay whatever I have taken from the government account. So the king appointed some prince who was good at measuring the horses, finding out about the horses. So he came and he looked at the horses, but he was not ready to pay a proper price for the horses. And he had a little idiosyncrasy. He had a particular behavior. He used to always look at the sky. He would talk for some time. He had a habit. His neck would turn and would look up at the sky and he would talk for some time. That was his habit. That was the idiosyncrasy. So Gopinath Patnaik, when he heard that this horses were not being paid properly, were not given the proper price, he said, my horses are not like you, always turning, looking at the sky. So this made the prince very angry. He went and gave a wrong report to the king, Pratapadra, saying that Gopinath Patnaik is not willing to repay the debts, what he has taken away from the government. So the king said, you deal with him however you want, I basically want to get the money back. So this prince wanted to take revenge because he was hurt. He was told that my horses are not like you. He felt very hurt by that, and he took this opportunity to put him under the changa. So changa means he was raised on a platform and there were swords beneath, swords with upright, the pointed edges on top. So the person would be thrown from the top, he will fall right on the swords. So he would immediately die on the spot. So that he was raised on the changa. So this was told to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, saying that he is raised in the changa, please, please do something. Lord Chaitanya said, I am a sannyasi. I can do madhukari. I can go and beg for alms, but I can't go and beg for 2 lakh kahanas of conscience. It's a huge amount. I can't beg for, it's like asking, I cannot beg for 10 crores. I can go and beg for alms. I can't beg for a huge amount. This is not what I am meant for. I am a sannyasi. And the devotee is very, very disturbed. And so immediately another person came running and said, Valinath Rai, his brother's family, they are also arrested. Again, all the devotees pleaded to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, saying that please, please do something. He is a very dear devotee. And he is very dear to you. Please, somehow or other, rescue him. So Lord Chaitanya was little bent upon that. He showed little indifference in this particular pastime, where it seemed that he was indifferent and he didn't want to externally help Gopinath Patnaik. But finally, when the devotees pleaded, they said, when the Lord Chaitanya heard their plea, he said that you can pray to Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath is very merciful. So if Jagannath hears his prayers, you can pray at the lotus feet of Jagannath. If he hears your prayers, Gopinath Patnaik will be immediately revealed. So very soon, as soon as Mahaprabhu told this, very soon, one of the ministers, he actually went and reported to the king, saying that Gopinath Patnaik is being hanged, is being put in the changa, and this is not the proper punishment to be given, because what he wanted was only the money. The king said, I was not aware that he is put in the changa. I just told that somehow or other, get the money out of Gopinath Patnaik. I don't want his life. In fact, even if he dies, I will not want to get my money back. He said, you can stop and do the needful. So immediately he was taken out of changa and he was relieved. He was out of that. So the point is, one may cause a great amount of disgrace, or one may end up hurting other devotees by simply not following, maybe it's a government law or it's a moral law or it's even a human behavior. Sometimes, so just by being on the platform of devotional service, one cannot neglect trying to follow the local laws. Once a devotee was, once Srila Prabhupada was arriving, and the devotees felt so eager, so happy to be able to meet Srila Prabhupada, and in that eagerness, and naturally as many times devotees get quite late in meeting out and going and receiving Srila Prabhupada, and they were trying beyond a particular speed what was not supposed to happen. So when they drove very fast, and actually a policeman caught them while they were actually going to meet Srila Prabhupada. And when the policeman came to know that they were actually going to meet Srila Prabhupada, the policeman was happy, said, you can go ahead and meet Srila. Because he knew that these are spiritual people, so he led them to go on further. So this was told to Srila Prabhupada, saying that, they felt that it is a very good news. They felt that Prabhupada would be very happy. The policeman was so happy that even when he broke the law, he actually allowed us to go ahead. So when Prabhupada heard this, he said, don't take advantage. Do not take advantage. Unnecessarily. One should, just because you are trying to practice in the role of devotional service, we cannot unnecessarily break the government laws, or even if it is a local law, even if it's a moral principle, if it's a human dealings, just because you are trying to practice on the platform of spirituality, one cannot try to avoid certain dealings amongst people. One has to be a little sensitive. So that is where it comes to the fourth platform, where a person follows God's laws, at the same time he appreciates to follow and obliges and agrees to follow even the government laws, even the local laws. Now there can be laws within the temple also.
There are certain laws, codes of conduct basically. It's not just a, basically our idea is law means don'ts. That is what we are always against, like law, why there is a law? But law actually includes do's and don'ts. And many times our concept is, it is already broken, you know. EA03ME541. Is anyone
blocking?
This is blocking the road outside, so others are not able to travel. So if this vehicle belongs to anyone sitting here, please do the needful. I can repeat, AA03ME541. So it can be as simple as this. Just because we are trying to practice on a devotional platform doesn't give us a license to break, to hurt someone else. In fact, this can hurt someone else to such an extent that person may feel, if this is what devotional service means, I don't want to come to devotional service. I don't want to take to the process of is being polite or is being moral, is it against our principles of religion? Is it against our principles of the practice of devotional service? It might take a little bit out of our efforts, but if we do that, we can ensure that many people can actually be attracted to the process of devotional service. Of course, the main content still remains. What is more important than following the simple local laws, obviously, is God's laws. But along with following God's laws, if one takes a little extra effort, maybe a little pain, to follow the local laws also, one might find that this can actually help even other people to be able to take to Krishna consciousness. A person may find that this is a good behavior of a devotee, wherein he wants to practice Lord consciousness, but the local laws are not in the way, is not an obstruction to following the God's laws. So person can be actually drawn towards this. So it is the best process is where we are able to try to follow the God's law and similarly simultaneously wanting to follow even government's laws or local laws. So this, as soon as we hear this law, it might bring about the notion that it is always do's or it's always don'ts, and because of which it might bring about a rebellion in us. Just as there are different platforms of worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in the lower stages, it is actually out of fear. So wherein a person feels there is a law, like some many times religion is actually taught like this. If you follow the religion, you will go to heaven. If you don't follow the religion, you go to hell. You choose what you want. Choice is in your hands. You have the free will. You follow, you go to heaven. You don't follow, you go to hell. So indirectly, it is actually forcing a person, you have to do this. You have to follow this. But it is again an incomplete understanding, an immature understanding of the complete whole. We are not wanting to force people to love God. Love cannot be out of force. Law can be enforced, but love cannot be forced. A person has to go beyond laws in order to love the Lord. Actually, love supersedes law. So in the initial lower stages of the platform of fear, a person wants to follow the law just because if he doesn't follow, something wrong will happen in my life. So okay, let me, just for a peaceful coexistence, let me follow the laws. But love of Lord is actually beyond simply wanting to follow the laws. But love, again in this sense, would implicitly include the following of the laws. Now this love should not mean that I simply love the Lord, I don't need to follow the laws. In fact, I follow the laws out of love for Him, not out of fear for Him. I want to follow the law, or rather it will become a part of the life when one actually wants to love the Lord. So that is why love actually supersedes law. In fact, to such an extent that the Lord can actually break His own laws for a person who loves Him. If someone loves the Lord, worships the Lord out of love, the Lord can even break the laws which He has made, even the man-made laws or the laws of nature or the laws of government. The Lord Himself can go out of His bounds to be able to accommodate that. You find this specifically in the case of Arjuna, when his son had died, Abhimanyu. When Abhimanyu died, Arjuna felt so much depressed in one sense, like he has lost his Vaishnava son. And he was very, very courageous, very skillful and very helpful in this battlefield. After losing his son, there was a natural outpour of emotions which was pouring out, and as a Kshatriya blood also was boiling, and he immediately took a vow, saying that the person who has killed him, I will avenge his death by tomorrow sunset. If I am not able to kill, he was killed by Jayadra. If I am not able to kill Jayadra by tomorrow sunset, I will enter into fire. And now the next words are to Krishna. Krishna was thinking, how to accommodate this. So Arjuna had taken his vow, and now he was surcharged. Next day morning, they will not fight in the night, as maybe done in the modern times. He will not continue after the sunset. So he waited for the next day morning, and the next day morning he was so fired up, he was so surcharged, and he utilized all his skills he had learned from Dronacharya, and he was shooting, he was killing people absolutely. And Jayadra, Duryodhana and Pandit, they had made wonderful arrangements that Jayadra would be at the last, so that Arjuna has to actually pierce through all the army in order to reach Jayadra. So people were told, the soldiers of Duryodhana's party, army, they were actually told that success is if Arjuna doesn't reach Jayadra. Even if millions of people die in the front, if it doesn't reach Jayadra, the battle is ours. If it doesn't reach Jayadra, what will happen? Arjuna is true to his word, he will actually enter fire. If Arjuna enters fire, then naturally the Kauravans will be victorious. So if we don't allow Arjuna to be able to reach Jayadrath, the battle is won. So that was the focus, that was the agenda for that day. Everyone was focused on that. And so naturally, with so many forces, Arjuna was trying to defeat everyone. He actually fears. He went right through and almost reached Jayadrath. And by this time it was, right from morning till evening, the sun was almost set. So everybody was looking at the sun and looking at how far Arjuna is, looking at the sun and the timings, and they were thinking about he should not reach Jayadrath. And finally, Arjuna almost reached Jayadrath, but the sun had set. So everyone was jumping, Duryodhana and his army, the soldiers, everyone was so happy, so jubilant. Now we are victorious. And Krishna, who was on the chariot with Arjuna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and because he was with Arjuna always, because Arjuna was his very dear devotee, was not envious, he was a dear devotee of the Lord. So Krishna made a special arrangement wherein the sun was covered by the clouds. And when everyone actually gave up their weapons and were shouting, they were jubilant basically. They were all jubilant and happy that, you know, we are going to be victorious. And at that moment, the clouds were removed by the influence of the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as a result of which, it was Arjuna and no one in between. And Krishna said, now is the right time. And Arjuna looked for waving, sun is there. Because he was true to his word, if sun had said, he would not do it. But again, now in this case, it's Krishna's orders, he was ready. And finally, he took the weapon, he took his arrows, and immediately killed off Jayadra. So this is to say that actually, Krishna can break his own laws. Krishna can adjust his own laws for someone who loves him. So love supersedes law, and that is a great benediction. That's a great word, that Krishna is actually Bhaktavatsala. He loves his devotee. So a devotee wants to follow the laws of Lord out of love for him, not out of fear for him. And that gives him that gives him a very wonderful solution, wherein the Supreme Lord agrees to actually satisfy his own devotee, even doesn't mind breaking the laws. So we have discussed basically about the difference between government laws versus God's laws. We find government laws is basically made by man. It can be evaded by coming out laws, and it is person can find certain loopholes, and finally it is always changing. Whereas in terms of God's laws, we find that it is not made by man, it is God made, dharmam tu sakshat bhuva pranitam, or it is by the representatives of the Lord. It is also, we also see that there is no imperfection in God's laws, and it is not changing at all. In fact, the only law, one of the greatest laws the Lord has made is Kaunteya Pratijanihi Navaya Bhakta Pradashyam. This is the God's law, wherein He says, my devotee will never be perished. This law will not change. The Lord will do anything in order to preserve this law. And then you find how there are four categories of people. The lowest of category person neither wants to follow God's laws, nor wants to follow government's laws. That is outright demoniac. Second category is where a person wants to follow God's laws, where a person wants to follow government's laws, but doesn't want to follow God's laws. That is a so-called gentleman in this material world. But the third case is a person follows God's laws, but may not follow the government laws, which is not so bad in God's eyes, but it might bring about disgrace. And it actually hurts the heart of many devotees when one loses on the principles, moral principles. Actually it is petty principles, simple rules to be followed, which missed out, it causes a great havoc. And finally, when a mature devotee wants to follow God's laws and also wants to include government laws or any local moral laws to be followed, so that it actually brings a lot of people towards Krishna consciousness. So we saw that in all these four categories, we find that actually the lowest rung again is worship of Lord out of fear, just because there is a law. But if one actually loves the Lord, love supersedes law. So if one loves the Lord, even Lord may break his own law in order to satisfy his duty, being a bhakta person. Thank you very much. Grandha Shrimad Bhagavatam ki Shrimad Bhagavatam ki
We have time for questions.
Anybody have any comments or any questions?
I want to ask, why follow government laws or laws of respect? And if the government want to demolish all the temples and they want to construct their own building, why you will follow government laws? And government will say do gambling and you are telling to follow both the things, it's not possible. Now government will say whatever they want, and according they are also selfish. And 80% of the funds are diverted for their own purpose. Then why they are also a robber? You take in a broader sense. Then why should we follow government laws?
There's a basic
example you said about the traffic signal. Even if a person is following God's laws, for seeing other safety, he will not do all those things. So God's laws are perfect. Why do you want to insert government laws in your mind?
Good question. The question is, when we are following God's laws, why do we want to follow government laws when we know that it is man-made, it is easy to outlaw it, and all those loopholes are there. And more than that, it sometimes, and that's the point I try to make, the local law cannot give an instruction to break the global law. So government's laws, if it is breaking the global law of God's laws, then one will not follow that. What I meant was, whatever it requires, like when the government says they demolish a temple, they are not asking us to do that. None of us are asked to do that particular act. What I meant by following government laws was in terms of moral codes and conduct amongst ourselves. Being a devotee does not give us a license to break the laws. I don't care about it. Yes, I don't care about it if actually the local law breaks the global law. there is a certain limitation, there is a certain jurisdiction. If they cross beyond that, then it's not that okay, we are loyal to the government, we are surrendered souls to the government. We want to actually surrender souls to the Lord. While trying to do that, whatever we can accommodate for a peaceful coexistence. Because by not following the local laws, because just like we are still living in a material world, right? We are trying to practice devotional service, but are we pure devotees? That we are not subject to the laws? Is our body not subject to the material laws? Is our body not changing, not growing? As long as we live in a particular place, we are subject to those laws. Somebody goes to America, then there are laws applicable for that particular state. He has to follow, like there he may have to travel left. Drive left. Now there if I say, why should I drive left? I am an Indian. I don't care about American government. USA, whatever, you can say so many things. But if you are there, we are supposed to follow certain local laws. So as long as it doesn't obstruct our following of God's laws, there's nothing wrong in trying to accommodate that. That's the point I was trying to explain.
Why follow government laws?
Because if I don't follow government's law, government representatives will come and do the needful. I will not do anything.
I am following godly laws.
What are you doing about it?
Okay, you are telling.
Can you answer?
No. One thing I am telling you, government is a robber.
Yes.
You want justice for them.
I don't want justice for them.
People.
No.
The law should be equal, right?
It should be equal. God's laws are equal. You know, government laws are not equal.
You know government statistics, how much they rob of the people. You know 80% of the money taxes collected has been spent on the salaries.
Yes.
Only 20% has been given.
These are all statistics. Everyone, most of the people are aware.
Even in that statistic,
yes. Jai Jagannath Bande Subhadra Maya Ki. Jai Prabhupada Ki.
What is the point in following government laws? If you follow government laws, you can still go to the hell, right?
Yes.
Then why? Who is instructed? Where in the spiritual?
If you don't follow government laws.
If your salary is 1 lakh, they tell you give 1 lakh and you be hungry and empty, you will follow government laws.
Are you over?
You will follow government laws.
No. Are you over?
No, I am not over.
Okay. Then you can continue. Okay. Anyway, it's basically an outro. I am not trying to make a mockery of it. I can understand you must have experienced certain wrong behavior of the government, which is not so difficult to find. As scriptures explain, Kaler Goshan is Hey Rajan. Kaliyuga is basically an ocean of faults. It doesn't require a very intelligent person to try to find faults in the case of Kaliyuga, in the government. It's natural. In this age of Kaliyuga, it is so very, design is so arranged that it's always not going to be as per the laws of God. Now when we say that we also want to try to follow what it means, I made the point very clear, the local laws should not disobey the God's laws. So when I said, if a government sanctions abortion,
just because the government sanctions, if I do it, I may, there is no punishment as per the government. Yes, there is no punishment as per the government, but there will be punishment as per the laws of God, the laws of nature, which are quite stringent. There is no loophole in that. Not that, you know, it was a small child, not that it was only 2 months, nothing. There is no loophole in that, in God's laws. In government laws we can find. So I may end up, this is the example I quoted, so I may end up doing an abortion and not having any punishment by the local government. But there is going to be a global punishment from God's laws, through the meaning of God's laws. So as devotees, what is required is, best is always, obviously, Krishna says, Saradharman Parityajya, Mam Ekam. Krishna says, exclusively surrender to Him. That is what is expected. But while following God's laws, it doesn't mean one should not follow whatever is government's law within the jurisdiction, within certain limitation. If there is a rectangle, if I stop there, it's nothing, it's not a harm. Rather, if I don't stop, there is a harm. So it's a very simple principle what I meant, which what the point I was trying to drive was, while being devotees, it doesn't give us a license to not follow certain local laws. So if you come to the temple, there is a temple laws. There's class are supposed to end now. As a result of which we are supposed to end, we are supposed to have cases, we are supposed to have other. It's trending, it is a law. If you say that you can go on as and when you want, there is a structure in place which is helpful for the majority of the people. So it's a law. If we follow, it's in the benefit of everyone. If I say, you know, I want to sleep for at least 3 hours, and somebody else says, you know, we should have 2 hour intervals, yes, we can have it at a different time maybe. But there is a certain law which everyone follows for everyone's benefit. Similarly, while following God's laws, if it is not obstructive to the God's laws, the government laws can follow. Similarly, if it's a fact, these are all very subjective and very, it's not a generalized thing. So, I mean, I can't give reasons for why, how to avoid this or anything like that. But whatever is the basic principle, in the guise of a devotee, it doesn't give us a license to simply, unnecessarily avoid local laws. That is the point I want to try. I hope it makes some sense to some people. Power of habits. Time is okay. Whatever the local law. Power of habits. So, best is my association. Like Prabhupada used to say that if one wants to become a drunkard, he simply has to associate with other drunkards. And it's just a matter of time when you want to become one. Similarly, in fact, Prabhupada actually said, ISKCON is basically meant in order to give the common mass of people a chance to associate with sadhus, a chance to associate with godly minded people, in order to get out of their material attachments, to get out of their social responsibility. It gives one an opportunity to associate with godly minded people. So, it's not that one always comes, habits we actually gather while living in the material world. It's not that we were born with it. We gather it. And of course, our mind, subconscious mind, is actually influenced because of our previous upbringing and so many things, subtle mind, subtle consciousness. But other than that, there are certain bad habits which we have gathered it here, which may take a long time to get rid of. It can be made more easier by association. It can give us a great strength in trying to get rid of it. And then you can take assistance from other devotees.
By following the government's law, if somebody has to break the God's law, how can he compensate? For example, the soldiers who are fighting on the border, so they have to kill the other human beings of other country. But if he is breaking the law of God, but he has to follow the same for government, you know, government law. So how can he compensate, or what is the remedy?
Yeah, good question. While following the government's laws, if one actually happens to break God's laws, like for example, if you are a soldier, when he kills the enemy of the other side, people, soldiers, enemy soldiers on the other side, then he might, this is actually, again, the killing principle, they are taking life. So in terms of God's laws, how it is adjusted. So if we find ourselves in such a situation, best is if we can try to avoid it. I can give you another example. Sometimes there are doctors who may be a gynecologist who may have to sometimes undergo this process of helping others. He is not doing it, but he is helping others to get certain operations done or certain things which are not supposed to be done, like even abortion or so many other things. So he may end up getting karma for it. So in the guise of devotees, one can simply say that because I am chanting the holy name of the Lord, Krishna will take care of all the sins. In fact, that act itself becomes one of the offenses in Navamrata, one of the seven sins, to commit simple activities while chanting the holy names of the Lord. So, best is to try to find alternative for it, knowing the principle that locally I will not get a punishment, but on a global level, it's going to devastate my consciousness and I have to suffer a lot for the future. So at least in the long term, one has to think in terms of how I can change to a little bit of substance. In terms of a soldier example which you give, generally for a soldier, when he kills the enemy of the other party, it is not actually taking lives. It is as per the government laws, like even there were Kshatriyas in the previous times, where when they kill the people of the other party, the enemy soldiers, they don't get inflicted with a sin. Actually, in fact, they said if they die in the battlefield, they actually be promoted to the heavenly merits. So this actually comes in an occupational duty. Now if a brahmana does it, he gets incurred. Just like if an animal kills another animal, he is not incurred by the sin. But a human being kills animal, he is incurred by the sin. Similarly, there are occupational duties. So if one is a Kshatriya, he has that occupational duty of fighting for the nation. So that comes under occupational duty. But to the best possible extent, one can try to avoid as much as possible, because living in Kali Yuga, the government laws will in the long run enforce one to actually break God's laws. So that's why it is best to get out of the material world as early as possible, because the government is going to get worse and worse and worse as the Kali Yuga progresses.
भागवत की जय।